You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Saturday's edition of the podcast, and what a day we've got coming up on Saturday. It's of course the William Hill St. Ledger, which is very much the feature of the day, the final classic of the season. Of course, a really good card over the Irish Sea as well at Leopardstown as Irish Champions Weekend gets underway. A pair of Group 1s to bring you on that card. There's also plenty more domestic racing alongside the action at Doncaster. We've got racing at Chester, at Lingfield, Chelmsford, Bath and Musselburgh. Plus, there's also further Irish action over at Listowel. So there really is plenty to go at on Saturday. Hopefully you can join us for the best of the action from 1 p.m. on Racing Radio. Sam Norris here, and on today's edition of the podcast, Will Smith joins me to take a look at some of Saturday's races. Will, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you, Sam. Very good.
Good.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Have you enjoyed the week so far at Doncaster?
Yeah. Obviously, been much talked about for sort of smallish fields and prize money, you know, perhaps a reason for that. It's a shame, really, because there's some very sort of prestigious and historic races over the course of the last 3 or 4 days that haven't quite had the luster that they have sometimes previously. So it's a shame, but hopefully that is all turned around by what is a cracking renewal of the St. Ledger, and also the Portland Handicap as well we've got, which is an interesting race in its own right too. So hopefully that Saturday turns everything around for anyone that was a slight naysayer earlier on in the week.
Yeah, really looking forward to the Ledger. We'll be coming on to that race in just a moment. I suppose you must be looking forward to the upcoming National Hunt season as well, Will.
Yeah.
We're not a million miles off now, are we?
No, we're not. No, we've obviously had various sort of late summer festivals over in Ireland, the likes of Galway and Listowel, where there's a few decent National Hunt races there. There's sort of Galway Plate, Galway Hurdle, Kerry National. And Chepstow's first October meeting is, what, probably 3 or 4 weeks away. So, we're not too far away, but at the moment the sun is still shining and we've got some decent ground for the back end flat stuff.
Yeah, still plenty of life in the flat season, of course, before we turn our attention on to the jumpers. Before we look at Saturday's action, we're just going to have a quick recap on some of the star performers on the Doncaster card on Friday. We'll look back at some of the group races on the card, starting with the opener on Friday, which is the Group 3 Scepter Stakes, won this year by Breathtaking Look. At a little bit of a surprise, really, was sent off 20-1 for Stuart Williams and Jim Crowley, and was actually chased home by a 14-1 shot as well. There were plenty of disappointments in the race, but Breathtaking Look, a bit of a surprise winner, certainly according to the betting.
Yeah, according to the betting, definitely. Ken Pitson actually was on course for us, and he gave Breathtaking Look a really favourable mention.
Right.
So another nod to Ken's abilities as a paddock judge. Somewhat surprisingly, seemed to make all as well, or was able to make all, which has not really been the order of the day at Doncaster over this week. Perhaps it was just a nature of a slightly lesser wind today that wasn't into their faces down the straight. And
yeah, there's been a real distinct headwind so far through the meeting, but the wind is dying down as we've reached the back end of the week.
Yeah, for sure. And Jim Crowley was able to dictate the pace as he seemingly wished on Breathtaking Look, and managed to kick again about 2 furlongs out, and it was a good performance from her. She's only rated 92 coming into this, which there were only 2 horses rated inferior to her in the whole 13 runner field. So her odds of 20-1 on official ratings were warranted, but sometimes, you know, at this stage of the year, these fillies towards the back end, you know, sometimes the better ones have perhaps gone off the boil, and other ones just start improving at a rate of knots at this particular stage of the summer. And that's clearly the case with Breathtaking Look, because she did it probably a shade cosily in the end. And interestingly, the second, third and fourth were all held up in the race as well. So maybe she can actually be marked up even more as a result of that.
Yeah, that was Breathtaking Look, who won the opener on the Friday then. On to the Doncaster Cup, won by Stradivarius. A smooth victory in the end. His main market rival, DXB, obviously came out of the race, didn't take his chance. Feel as though Stradivarius, given the evidence that we've got, would have beaten DXB had he have stood his ground, and a smooth victory to make it 10 in a row for what's been an incredible horse.
Yeah, absolutely incredible horse. He I mean, he's a completely obviously different horse to the likes of Frankel and various others, but in terms of what he's actually doing, in terms of winning and level of performance, it's right up there. I mean, he's sort of almost now the races that he's contesting are easier because other people just don't want to take him on now because they know they can't beat him. You know, all ground seems to come alike. Any type of race tactics, any type of pace set up within a race, him and Frankie are able to sort of manoeuvre themselves, or Frankie is able to manoeuvre Stradivarius into a position where he can win from, you know, fast pace, slow pace, whatever. He just seems to... he's just too good for any stayer that we currently have around. So, obviously, great to see him out again. We'll probably see him again, I imagine, in the long-distance cup at Ascot on Champions Day. There was, after he won the £1 million bonus, there was just a few people mentioning the arc, potentially, but I can't see that. I can't see that happening this year. Potentially, maybe next year if they keep him in training. It would be a fascinating. You often see stayers run well in that, and he is, the classiest stayer that we've seen for a long time. So that would be fascinating. But that's, you know, that's 12 months plus beyond. For the moment, we can just enjoy him and enjoy what he did on Friday.
Yeah, being an incredible horse to dominate this division. I always think as well, it's worth pointing out, while sustained division right this moment isn't perhaps the strongest it's ever been, a couple of years ago, Stradivarius was still beating some very good horses. You know, he turned away the likes of Big Orange, Order of St. George, Vizirabad, when the sustained division was perhaps a little bit deeper than it is right now. You just wonder, at what point is a young horse finally going to come and take his crown? Because surely it will happen eventually.
Yeah.
None of the current crop look up to it, but... There will be a stayer eventually, surely.
There will be. Once the passages of time take hold on Stradivarius. I mean, he's a 5-year-old. What he is doing and his constitution at some stage will be sort of called into question. The fact that he keeps going to these battles and keep pulling out a little bit more each time. At some stage, his powers will wane. They don't look as if they are currently, and they don't look as if they're about to.
Yeah.
There was a stage 2 years ago where he got beaten in the Doncaster Cup, actually, by Capri. In the St. Ledger by Capri and Crystal Ocean. And you thought at that stage, obviously, Crystal Ocean has proved himself in mile and a half races since then. But you thought Capri might be the one, this is going back 2 years, that could really take on the mantle and be a stayer, the next sort of Yates or Order of St. George that Aidan O'Brien had had. But he's been batted away as well. He just seems to beat whatever's put in front of him. And as you say, the likes of Vizirabad, Torcedor at one stage looked like he might be able to lay a claim to that. DXB this year has looked like he might be able to step up, but has been quite easily put in his place, given a whole host of variety of tactics as well. So he just is a superstar.
That ledger, by the way, that you mentioned from a couple of years ago has worked out to... well, now looks one of the strongest races of all time. Capri won it. Crystal Ocean was second. Stradivarius third. Rekindling finished fourth. Coronet was fifth. Defoe was in tenth. There were only 11 runners. One of them, two of them were Aidan O'Brien. Three of them were Aidan O'Brien pacemakers.
That's right.
So it's just an incredible race, how it's worked out since.
It could be, looking at this year's ledger, I'm sure you'll come on to it shortly, but it could be that might be a similar... well, we'll see. I don't want to preempt too much.
Yes, fingers crossed, though. The final point of note for Friday's action was the Flying Childers as well, Group 2, that went the way of Ali, who is back to winning ways, obviously after a defeat at Deauville last time around. Looks a very exciting horse earlier on in his career. Obviously, not quite a backward step in France. Obviously, a little bit more was expected over in France, but has got... back to winning ways today with a pretty comfortable victory in the end. The winning margin wasn't vast, but he was good value for it.
Yeah, no, he definitely was. And he proved himself versatile in terms of ground conditions as well. Obviously, it's the first time that he's raced on proper fast ground, which he seemed to be okay on. I still think his better performances have come earlier in the year on softer ground. And even his run in the pre-morning, I thought was a cracker. I mean, that could prove to be a very, very good renewal of that particular Group 1. Raffle Prize was obviously in second, Golden Horde third, Arizona fourth, so there's Ascot winners in there, and Earthlight, who won it for Andre Farb and Mikhail Barcelona, looks very, very good. It's a real good sprinter to sort of go into these types of contests for the next year or two, whether he makes up into a Guineas contender maybe in Earthlight, I'm not too sure, but Ali did it well. His main market rival, obviously, Alligator Rally, was but somewhat works up in the stalls, and whether that had an effect on, well, I'm sure it did have an effect on his performance, because he ran a bit flat and he was beaten by horses who to all intents and purposes he should have been beating. So Ayali did what he had to do, but his main market rival was below par.
On to Saturday's action then. As I say, it's a really, really good day of racing coming up on Saturday. We'll focus mainly on the leading contests at Doncaster and at Leopardstown, starting with the big one, the William Hill St. Ledger itself, the final classic of the season, where Logician is a strong favourite at 10-11, currently 4-4, looking to keep his unbeaten run going. So Dragonair is next in at 5-2. Earl Paradiso is 9-1, both representing Aidan O'Brien, who looks for yet another win in the race. Sir Ron Priestley is 10-1. Technician 14s. Dashing Willoughby is 16-1. Nayef Road 33-1. Western Australia is 50-1. Suppose we better start with the favourite here, Will. Logician, who's 4-4, comfortable victory in the Great Voltigeur last time around, which is often a decent guide for the Ledger. It's quite difficult to pick too many holes in anything he's done so far.
Yeah, I guess the only thing that you could potentially suggest is he quite as classy as some of the horses that he's taking on? Because he's at the stage that they were contesting derbies and things like that and derby trials. He was running in maidens and novice races and then turning up in his first handicap off a mark of 90. So obviously he is, the fact he didn't race until he was a three-year-old, and the fact he's only raced four times until now suggests that he was a late developer.
Yeah, didn't make his debut until May of this year either.
Exactly. So he's obviously a late developer in that respect, but what he is a very, very fast developer, because his win in the Great Voltigeur was mightily impressive, I thought. Beating Constantinople and Norway from the Aidan O'Brien stable. He had Jal Mood back and forth and Nayef Road in fifth, who Nayef Road reopposes, you'd imagine would be outclassed again. And he just had the look of a horse that we just hadn't got anywhere near the bottom of in that Great Voltigeur. And I really, I hate sort of putting up or suggesting, you know, short-priced favourites in races such of this nature, where there are so many horses that could potentially improve for the extra step up in trip. And the St. Ledger is such a unique race as well. But I really think Logician is a very, very strong favourite. Obviously, Aidan O'Brien has three darts at it. Sir Dragonet and Il Paradiso, the main two. You'd have to worry about Sir Dragonet on the ground, potentially. And Il Paradiso, yes, he was good and he finished close up behind Stradivarius in the Lonsdale Cup at Yorkshire, having won a handicap at the Curragh before that. But you do just wonder whether he was slightly flattered by the eventual winning margin, eventual defeat by Stradivarius of him. And I just wonder whether he's quite classy enough, maybe. It's a fascinating renewal. Because of the eight runners, it does look open for an each-way bet, but I really can't look beyond the favourite Logician, to be honest.
Yeah, with a market like this, you feel obliged to have an each-way bet with such a short price favourite in the dead eight and possibly a horse in Western Australia who can't win it. You kind of feel obliged to have an each-way bet, but... Yeah. Yeah, Logician certainly looks a worthy favourite, and we'll see if he can make it 5-5 at Doncaster. Quick word on a couple of Group 1s at Leopardstown as well then. Obviously, these are hopefully going to fit into the show on Saturday, but we usually get a little bit more time on the Saturday to discuss these because it's usually a twilight card. This card, of course, has been moved forward, and some of the big races have been moved forward due to the All-Ireland replay. So the Irish Champion Stakes is at 4.15 this year. Magical is 15-8 favourite. 130 for Alarcan. Headman 4-1. Mad Moon is 13-2. Deirdre the Japanese Raider is 11-1. Anthony Van Dyke 12s. Magic 1 28s. And Hunting Horn is 100-1. And the shape of Magical here, the favourite at 15-8. She's barely done anything wrong in her career other than bump into horses such as Enable and Crystal Ocean. She's ran with credit in behind those. There's nothing of that ilk in this race. So it looks a good opportunity for her to have a day in the sun, not that she hasn't but in the past, but without those candidates in this race, it should be a good opportunity for her.
It should be a very good opportunity, yeah. The one slight doubt is that she's having her seventh start of the season, but she certainly doesn't seem to be losing her form by any stretch. Obviously, she's been beaten by Enable the last twice. Crystal Ocean, as you mentioned, at Ascot the time before that. Previous to that, she'd won Grade 3, Grade 2, and Grade 1 at the Curragh before that. So she just seems to be really, really consistent this year. Two seasons previous to this, she was quite lightly raced. So there's just the one slight doubt is that you know, she's had a busy season.
Yep.
But we've seen it time and time again with Aidan O'Brien horses at this time of year when all the big races are on, they just seem to be able to keep finding and keep finding a little bit more. Her one previous start at Leopardstown came in the Grade 1 Matron Stakes that we'll see obviously later on on the card last year behind Lawrence. Now that was over a mile. She's clearly much better at this 10 furlong trip. She again, I'm going to sound a bit like a broken record here, she's a very, very worthy favourite again. It is a deep race though. I do think that El Arkam, Headman, Mad Moon, certainly Headman and Mad Moon being three-year-olds, they potentially have a little bit more room to progress. Obviously Anthony Van Dyke you can't forget about as well. And El Arkam is almost a horse that has been a little bit forgotten about and is suddenly everyone is remembering quite what he looked like he could become last year. So it's a good renewal of it, as it always is. It'd want to be for €700,000 to the winner. But I do think, Aidan O'Brien looks to hold the key again with Magical.
And on to the final race that we'll take a look at then, which is the aforementioned Matron Stakes. This one comes with a 5.25, a Group 1 just for the fillies. Last year's winner, Lawrence, is the 6-4 favourite, the only British raider in the race. Hermosa is 9-4, the dual guineas winner this year. I Can Fly is 13-2, Iridesso is 10-1, Skitter Scatter 11s, 25-1 for Happen, Just Wonderful 33-1. Lawrence at the top of the betting, obviously a very popular horse, very tough horse. Sprung a surprise when beating the seemingly unbeatable Alpha Centauri in this race last year. This year she'll come into it with the favourites tag. There's more expectancy about her this year.
Yeah, I think there is, and it looks as if it's been something of a plan to try and get her to peak at this stage of the year, given the nature of races that that there are coming up. Obviously, there's this, and then I imagine she might well try and go back to the Queen Elizabeth II Stakes at Ascot on Champions Day. She's had four runs that have gradually got better and better, culminating in a second in the City of York Stakes, the Group 2 last time out, which was over 7 furlongs. I think she's probably better over a mile. She obviously wears her heart on her sleeve. She goes from the front, which, given the makeup of the race with four Aidan O'Brien horses in it, some of whom stay a little bit further, some of whom will have a slight eye on perhaps a better fancied stable mate somewhere back in the field.
Yep.
So you do worry about the potential for Lawrence being taken on for the lead and really hustled for that sort of prominent position, which leaves herself open to maybe being vulnerable in the closing stages. Which one would pick up the pieces if that were the case is quite hard to predict. Skitter Scatter would be interesting. I thought certainly looked on the way back last time out when second, giving her given how good she was as a two-year-old. And then any of the Aidan O'Brien horses, Hermosa, obviously dual guineas winning. I Can Fly at some stage will pop up in certainly a Group 2, Group 3. Whether she can pop up in a Group 1 of this nature, look, you wouldn't put it past Aidan O'Brien.
Yeah.
He's won Group 1s with horses that you just wouldn't have believed. So Iridesso, of course, as well, who has tried over a mile and a half the Irish Derby last time, didn't quite stay. Back to a trip that is perhaps even shy of her best. You know, maybe she's better off at 10 furlongs. But there's class in abundance in this race. So for me, I'd love Lawrence to win it. I think she's the classiest horse at this trip in the race. Whether she has all her own way, though, remains to be seen.
Indeed, very much looking forward to that race on Saturday. And indeed, all the racing will be live on Racing Radio from 1 o'clock. Hopefully you can join us for all of that. We'll take in as much of that Leopardstown card as we possibly can as well on Saturday and amongst a busy domestic programme. Will, thank you very much for that. Pleasure.
Cheers,
as ever, and enjoy it.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.